AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The father of Travis King, the U.S. service member that crossed into North Korea earlier this month, believes his son may have been under the influence of alcohol when crossing the demilitarized zone. Pentagon officials dispute the theory. Thomas King suspects it would have been the only reason he could see his son entering North Korea. U.S. officials are working with the North Koreans to coordinate Private King's return. One of the three Marines found dead in North Carolina Sunday was from Wisconsin. Terry Bell reports.
Lance Corporal Tanner Kaltenberg was from Madison and graduated from Verona High School. He was 19 years old. He and two other Marines found dead had been serving at Camp Lejeune. The local sheriff's department is investigating, but homicide has been ruled out. We don't know how they died or how long they'd been dead. We're still waiting for the autopsy report. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Area parents are upset the Eau Claire School District did not inform them of a planned discussion surrounding a transgender teacher. One parent is pursuing a lawsuit to learn exactly what was said. Pete Schwaba with more.
A parent of four students in the Eau Claire School District is suing the district over a conversation surrounding a middle school orchestra teacher's gender-affirming surgery. She alleges the lawsuit against the district is not over the subject of conversation, but rather not given the option to opt out of the discussion. Buckman now wants to know exactly what was told to her children. Orchestra students at North Star Middle School were given the opportunity to leave the room before the conversation. All of the students stayed to hear from their teacher. Pete Schwaba, Civic Media News.
Buchman is being represented in the lawsuit by the conservative organization Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Experts are pushing back against the popular notion that gun violence and mental illness are strongly connected. Jack Rosel of the University of Pittsburgh says people with mental health challenges are not more prone to violence.
The data is pretty clear that in the United States, about half of us live with a psychiatric illness, right? So it's actually quite common to live with a psychiatric illness. It's not those people, it's us together.
Rosel says the United States is the only country that averages one mass shooting every day. He says the problem in America is easy access to guns. Lowering the cost to receive Wisconsin's voter list. That's the goal of a Republican proposal being circulated at the Wisconsin Capitol this week. Under the proposal, the state would cap costs for purchasing an electronic copy of Wisconsin's voter rolls to $250. Currently, the cap is set to $12,500. According to State Senator Dan Knodel and State Representative Amy Binsfield, that cost is out of reach for most Wisconsinites. The lawmakers claim the bill is to promote transparency in voter information. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. The St. Croix County Sheriff's Office is raising money to honor Katie Lysing, the deputy killed during a traffic stop on May 6. In a Facebook post, the Sheriff's Office said it would use the money to create a local memorial and provide mental health support for area officers and their families, as well as to send family and officers to Washington, D.C. next year to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. A link to donate is included in the Sheriff's Office post. The deadline to apply to be a judge in the Barron County Circuit Court has been extended. The office of Governor Tony Evers said anyone interested in serving through July of next year needs to apply by August 11th. The person who is appointed will replace Judge J.M. Bitney, who is retiring in September. The application is on Governor Evers' website. And with temperatures expected to climb well into the 90s, cooling centers have been opened up across northwestern Wisconsin. These typically include libraries, community buildings, and other shelters. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Reds hold off the Brewers. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Reds had built a four-run lead heading into the bottom of the ninth inning last night at American Family Field. Then, with runners on first and third, Christian Yelich came to the plate. Jeff Levering on Valley Sports Wisconsin.
Fly ball left field. Back Senzel. Gone! It's a one-run game.
My goodness. A three-run homer by Yelich, his 15th of the season. It traveled 378 feet over the left field fence, but Andrew Monasterio, batting cleanup, hit a pop fly, and that ended it. A 4-3 win for Cincinnati over the crew. Yelich after the game.
I Yeah, we left a lot out there. You know, we kind of had a chance to distance ourselves there with a lot of opportunities, but our pitchers did a great job of just throwing up zeros, giving us a chance to stay in it and keep the pressure on.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
Just didn't do enough offensively. We had a lot of, like, longer at-bats. Just didn't cash anything in.
What has to change to turn the offense around?
We got to get more hits.
Game 3, the rubber match of the series at 1:10 this afternoon in Milwaukee. Ben Lively against the Brewers' Freddie Peralta, the crew with a half-game lead over the Reds in the NL Central. College football, former Badgers defensive coordinator Jim Leonard has been hired by Brett Bielema as a defensive consultant at Illinois. The Packers begin training camp with two players on the PUP, defensive back Eric Stokes and linebacker Rashawn Gary, GM Brian Gutekunst.
He's such an important factor for our football team, so, you know, we're going to be very cautious in that as far as making sure that he's good to go. He's got a long career ahead of him, and we want to make sure that we do everything we can to get him to where he can go let it loose.
ESPN's list of NFL top running backs did not include Packers' Aaron Jones. A.J. Dillon's reaction.
Him not being in the top 10 is, first of all, ridiculous. Just the last couple of years he's had. It's just stuff for our bulletin board. We got a bulletin board. We got a checklist. We keep the receipts. I don't need to say too much. We'll let our game speak for itself.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Wednesday, the 26th of July. That means it's the last Wednesday in the month of July. Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. You can hear this show Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. and right here on your local civic media radio station. Outside today, it's going to be another warm summer day with some rain in the morning in many areas of the state. For instance, La Crosse today, rainy in the morning, sunny in the afternoon, highs around 91 degrees. And in Eau Claire, pretty much the same thing, high around 90. Even up in Hayward today, rainy in the morning, sunny in the afternoon, high around 88. And Amory expecting a high around 89 degrees today. In sports, the Brewers lost to the Reds last night, an exciting game, 4-3. That puts the Brewers back at just a half a game ahead of the Reds in the NL Central. And the final game of that three-game series is this afternoon in Milwaukee. Right now, it is 69 degrees in La Crosse, and it's 71 up in Hayward. They are warmer than La Crosse right now. And we do have a number of topics to discuss this morning. There is a lot of action in the news today. And we're going to start with some economic news. And this is good economic news, I would say, for most people. The Consumer Confidence Index has hit a two-year high. That's right. People have some confidence in the economy and how they're going to move through the economy in the future. So this is a story from the Associated Press, and this was posted late yesterday. The headline from the Associated Press says, U.S. consumer confidence jumps to a two-year high as inflation eases. How are you feeling about the economy? Not too bad, right? I think that most people who want to be employed right now can find a job pretty easily. And I think that with inflation on its way down pretty fast, people are feeling confident about the future. This story has a dateline of Washington. It says U.S. consumer confidence shot to the highest level in 2 years this month as inflationary pressures eased and the American economy continued to show resilience in the face of dramatically higher interest rates. The Conference Board, a business research group, said its consumer confidence index rose to 117 in July from a revised 110.1 in June. The gauge beat the 110.5 that economists had expected and was the highest since July of 2021, 2 years ago. The index measures both Americans' assessment of current economic conditions and their outlook for the next 6 months, and both of those factors improved in July. The Future Expectations Index rose to 88.3 in July, clearing the recession threshold of 80 recorded in June. Economists closely monitor Americans' spirits because consumer spending accounts for around 70% of U.S. economic activity. The Conference Board Index fell more or less steadily from mid-2021 to mid-2022 as surging prices ate into household budgets, but confidence has come back in fits and starts over the past year as inflation eased in the face of 10 interest rate hikes by the Federal Reserve. Fed policymakers are expected to raise their benchmark rate again Wednesday, today, to the highest level in 22 years. The U.S. economy, the world's largest economy, has proved surprisingly resilient in the face of sharply higher borrowing costs. Employers are adding a strong 278,000 jobs a month so far this year. And at 3.6% in June, the unemployment rate is not far off from a half-century low. Tumbling inflation and sturdy hiring have raised hopes the Fed just might pull off a so-called soft landing, slowing the economy just enough to tame inflation without tipping the United States into recession. And I'm sure everyone listening right now recalls the doom and gloom of all the economists saying there's a big recession coming. And well, that never materialized, fortunately. I have a quote here. It says, expectations for the next 6 months improved materially, reflecting greater confidence about future business conditions and job availability, said Dana Peterson, the conference board's chief economist. She went on and said, this likely reveals consumers' belief that labor market conditions will remain favorable. So that's good news. What do you think? Do you have an opinion on that? Are you confident about the future of the economy? Yeah, I'd like to hear what you have to say. Feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Are you confident about the economy? Do you feel that Bidenomics is working for you? Or do you think that we'd be better off with somebody like Donald Trump in the White House? Yeah, give me a call and let me know what you have to say. And by the way, Aaron, my producer, good morning to you, and how are you doing today?
Good morning. Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing great, man. I want to ask you, have you ever voted on a wheel tax proposal?
Not that I'm aware of. It's possible it was in a referendum or something when I voted, mm-hmm. but if it was, I was just like, seems like a good idea and voted for it or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, and I think generally speaking, a wheel tax could be a good way to go if a community is facing serious issues with roads. It's not a progressive tax. It's a regressive tax. Obviously, if everybody has to pay the same amount, it's going to affect people at the lower end of the economic scale more, way more than it'll affect somebody at the higher end of the scale. But in Eau Claire County, they proposed a $24 annual wheel tax to help fund city road work. And now it sounds like here, at least, this was not something that the voters voted on. But I know that in Milwaukee County in the past, we had a vote. It was some years ago, probably 20 or 30 years ago. I think the last time I remember doing that, well, at least 10 or 15 years ago. But anyway, I have a story here from the Leader Telegram explains what went on in Eau Claire and the fact that they did adopt a $24 wheel tax. Eau Claire City Council adopts $24 wheel tax. This was posted yesterday by Andrew Dowd of the Leader Telegram. And the story starts this way. It says, starting sometime this fall, drivers with motor vehicles kept in Eau Claire will pay an additional $24 annually to help fund city road work. And if I misspoke earlier, I think I may have said the county, but it's actually the city. The city council voted 7-2 on Tuesday. Councilman Joshua Miller and Roderick Jones were absent, to establish a local vehicle registration fee, commonly called a wheel tax. Councilwoman Kate Felton was among those who said they begrudgingly adopted the fee to provide the city with new revenue needed to fix up its streets. And here's the quote. It says, it's a regressive fee and something that doesn't seem fair, she said, but it's something we have to do to continue to run this city. In addition to Felton, those voting for the wheel tax were Council President Emily Berg, Vice President Emily Anderson, and fellow council members Jeremy Gregert, Charlie Johnson, Jessica Schoen, and Andrew Werthman. Opposing the wheel tax were council members Jill Christofferson and Larry Mboga. I feel it's not the right time for us, Mboga said. Eau Claire families are facing increasing prices due to inflation, he said, as well as paying more for other city expenses and public schools due to referendums approved by voters in November. Christofferson had sought a sunset date for the wheel tax, which would have required the council to decide at the end of 2026 if that wheel tax fee should continue. Quote, it's a response to voters who are on limited income, have vehicles, and feel they are always the subject of increases, she said. But adding a December 31st, 2026 sunset date to the wheel tax proposal failed to gain majority support, falling short in a 4-5 vote. Gregert said he simply doubts that the city's financial ability to rebuild roads will change much by then. Quote, I don't know that I expect the cost of infrastructure to go down or even stabilize, he said. Werthman expressed interest in a sunset clause that would automatically end the wheel tax if and when the state would give a major shared revenue boost to Eau Claire. So looking for some state money there. City Attorney Stephen Nick advised the council of legal difficulties with such an amendment, saying that a specific date would be preferable if they did want a sunset clause. Exactly when Eau Claire's new wheel tax will take effect depends on when the new ordinance is published and how quickly the state government changes its system to collect the new fee for Eau Claire. On Tuesday, city officials didn't have an exact date for that, but believed it will take effect sometime this autumn. And so people in Eau Claire are going to have to pay an extra $24, but yeah, it's $2 a month. I know that most people could afford that, but it is a regressive tax. If you have an opinion on that, give us a call, 715-388-7155. You are tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, well, you might find.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Hi, I'm Joey Erickson from Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, and here are some events that are coming up in our community.
Running through the 30th, the Polk County Recycling and Land Water Tent will be open from 7 till 9 p.m. Learn about recycling, natural resources protection, and water quality information. Bring the kids too. They can enjoy a scavenger hunt and have a chance to win a laptop. On July 31st, the Indian Head Barbershop course meets at 7 p.m. at the Government Center on the northeast side of Highway I and Highway 46 in Balsam Lake. All men who love to sing are welcome. On August 2nd, stop by Michael Park and enjoy a free concert. Listen to Rex Cactus Band starting at 6 p.m. And on August 3rd, the Amory Lakes Protection and Rehabilitation District meeting takes place at City Hall from 6:30 until 7 p.m.
If you have an event you'd like us to tell others about, let me know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us and we'll tell the community all about it. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies today with daytime highs approaching 89. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight. Lows dip down to about 67. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for isolated thunderstorms. High of 91. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday with highs in the mid-80s. Mainly sunny Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 68.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Right now, the Rolling Stones on Mick Jagger's 80th birthday. I can hardly even believe I'm saying that. In the year 2023, and that saxophone, legendary jazz saxophone player Sonny Rollins. How in the heck did the Rolling Stones get Sonny Rollins to play on one of their records? I remember reading an interview with, or a story about how that happened, and Mick Jagger said that he wanted, and you know, remember, I don't know if you remember, but Charlie Watts, the drummer from the Rolling Stones, was a jazz guy. He was a jazz fan and also a jazz musician, played in his own big band. And when the story goes, at least what I remember reading, was that Mick Jagger told Charlie Watts that he wanted Sonny Rollins to play on the record. And Charlie Watts, being the jazz guy, said, no way, no way would Sonny Rollins ever agree to play on a Rolling Stones record. But he did, and I think he played on a couple of other songs from that particular album, which was probably in the early 1980s, 81, 82. And, of course, the Rolling Stones would start recording a song and then stop recording it and pick it up again a few years later. So a lot of their material was recorded in part 1 year and then recorded again or finished up several years later. But I could go on about the Rolling Stones for days, but I won't. And but we are going to be celebrating Mick Jagger's 80th birthday today with lots of Rolling Stones music. So hopefully you will enjoy that. Hey, there are several stories I wanted to get to. And by the way, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Got 25 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock right now. If you have any input on some of the topics that we're discussing today, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And, you know, one of the stories that is somewhat depressing, but still should be covered because we all need to know this. A lot of things going on in the oceans these days. For instance, scientists are telling us now that the ocean current system that we rely on to keep the oceans alive and to keep us alive may be collapsing at some point in the not too distant future because of global warming. And to give you some idea of what's going on at this minute in the oceans, the state of Florida, Florida Keys, just off the coast of Florida, reporting temperatures now in the water of over 100 degrees. You know, it's like a hot tub, and it's not supposed to be like that. 101.1 degrees. The water temperatures off of the Florida Keys currently are among the hottest ever recorded. And I'll give you a little bit of this story before we have to go to a break. This is from USA Today. It says, no hot tub needed in South Florida this week. Water temperatures in the bays between the mainland and the Florida Keys were so warm on Monday that meteorologists say they were among the hottest ocean temperatures ever recorded on Earth. Water temperature at a buoy in Manatee Bay south of Miami reached an incredible 101.1 degrees on Monday evening. That could be a new world record, besting an unofficial 99.7 degree temperature once reported in Kuwait. But meteorologists say the Florida gauge's location in dark water near land could make that difficult to determine. Heat has been building in South Florida for weeks as the region and much of the western United States sweltered under much warmer than normal temperatures. We'll get to more of what's going on with the climate right after we take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Former Marine Trevor Reed, who was exchanged in a prisoner swap with Russia last year, has now been injured fighting in Ukraine. Some think that could complicate things for other Americans being held by Moscow. Secretary of State Antony Blinken disagrees.
In terms of what the implications are for our efforts to bring home Evan Gershkovitz or Paul Whelan, it shouldn't. have any effect.
The hot weather still beating down. 102 expected in Oklahoma City today, 106 in Kansas City, and it's headed east.
In the Midwest and Great Lakes, Northeast, we've had a really easy summer. Not even an actual heat wave yet in New York City, meaning 3 days of 90 or above, but that will change as we get our first going into this weekend.
ABC Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z. President Biden's son, Hunter, expected in court today to accept a plea agreement on tax evasion charges. This is ABC News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. The St. Croix County Sheriff's Office is raising money to honor Katie Lysing, the deputy killed during a traffic stop on May 6. In a Facebook post, the Sheriff's Office said it would use the money to create a local memorial and provide mental health support for area officers and their families, as well as to send family and officers to Washington, D.C. next year to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. A link to donate is included in the Sheriff's Office post. The deadline to apply to be a judge on the Barron County Circuit Court has been extended. The Office of Governor Tony Evers said anyone interested in serving through July of next year needs to apply by August 11th. The person who is appointed will replace Judge J.M. Bitney, who is retiring in September. The application is on Governor Evers' website. And with temperatures expected to climb well into the 90s, cooling centers have been opened up across northwestern Wisconsin. These typically include libraries, community buildings, and other shelters. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope they don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Kroot. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Face the facts. It's not easy facing up when your whole world
or turn a deeper blue. I could not foresee this thing happening to you. If I look hard enough in
the sun. Yeah, now we're getting somewhere. Rolling Stones for you on a Wednesday morning. Celebrating Mick Jagger's 80th birthday. Man, we should all be celebrating that today. And so we'll be playing some Stones on the radio today. Thank you for listening to the Stu Daniels Show. Hope you're having a good day so far. We've been discussing a couple of different topics on the show today. Just before the break, we were discussing the fact that the oceans are changing. The oceans on our Earth are changing. The oceans that provide for life on Earth. Yep, in the way that the oceans have evolved over time, allow life on Earth to exist, and now the oceans are changing. What does that mean? Just before the break, we were discussing the fact that down in Florida right now, the Florida Keys currently recording temperatures above 100 degrees. And also another story we're going to get to in a little bit is a story about the ocean currents. You know, there's a what they call a global conveyor belt that moves the oceans around the world. And there are currents that run through the oceans, and that's what allows for life in the oceans. And if those currents slow down or stop, it could make a big difference in life on Earth. This is serious stuff, and we should all be paying attention to global warming, climate change, and try to disregard those who say it's all a hoax and part of a left-wing conspiracy to get you to buy electric cars. Global warming is real, and climate change is happening all around us right now. And getting back to this story here from USA Today about the temperatures off the Florida Keys, says here that heat has been building in South Florida for weeks as the region and much of the western United States sweltered under much warmer than normal temperatures. The heat index, what the temperature feels like in Miami, has topped 100 degrees in the city for 43 consecutive days, 11 days longer than the previous record. Brian McNulty, a senior research associate at the Rosenstiel School of Marine Atmospheric and Earth Science at the University of Miami, tweeted on Monday, quote, "Calling this heat wave unprecedented is an understatement," McNulty said. So, was Monday's 101.1 degree temperature in Manatee Bay a valid record measurement? That depends on the surrounding circumstances, said Jeff Masters, a meteorologist for Yale Climate Connections. The reading would need to be verified, and no one keeps official sea surface temperature records, Masters said. The potential unofficial record sea surface temperature is 99.7 degrees in the middle of Kuwait Bay in the northwestern Persian Gulf, Masters said. That's according to a 2020 study by scientists with the Environmental and Life Science Research Center at the Kuwait Institute for Science Research. The Manatee Bay gauge is very close to land, south of Biscayne Bay, and measures the water temperature at a depth of 5 feet. It is possible for sunlit shallow water surrounded by dark land and light winds to be warmer than the air temperature, Masters said. Air temperature at Marathon in the Florida Keys reached 99 degrees Fahrenheit on Monday, tying the all-time record. Since the Manatee Bay buoy is near land, the water temperature could have been heated up by floating plants and other debris, he said, without photos documenting clear water there Monday. It will be difficult to verify the 101.1 degree record as valid, he said, given the gauge's location near land and the Kuwait measurement in open water. Masters said the two really shouldn't be compared. However, he noted 11 stations near the Manatee Key reported sea surface temperatures of more than 96 degrees on Monday. That includes buoys that reached 99.3 degrees and 98.4 degrees.
Federal officials say more than 40% of the world's oceans are experiencing marine heat waves, a number that could reach 50% by September. So, what is causing the heat? While it might be tempting for some to chalk up the heat to a typically hot summer or the building El Nino in the Pacific Ocean, neither of those things can explain the heat in South Florida or in the western United States, scientists said this week. Quote, I haven't seen any strong evidence that warmer temperatures so far over the U.S. have been driven by El Nino, said Michelle LaRue, a climate scientist at the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, known to us as NOAA. El Nino has only recently formed a weak but complex link with the atmosphere that allows it to begin having a big influence on the world's weather. While an international group of scientists studying heat waves in three locations this summer say it's possible El Nino contributed some additional heat, it wasn't a major factor, they said. Quote, weather is naturally extreme, and some of the extremes we're seeing are due to natural variability, he said. But on top of that, there is a long-term climate change. South Florida has been suffering under a lingering high-pressure system that's weaker with reduced trade winds, Masters said. That helps heat up water and air temperatures. A blocked pattern seen in the jet stream over North America this summer and blamed for the heat waves has been linked to climate change by climate scientist Michael Mann and others. So what we used to consider rare heat waves are no longer rare. The unprecedented heat wave over 18 days in the western United States and northern Mexico this summer would have been virtually impossible if humans had not warmed the planet by burning fossil fuels, said the team of scientists with the World Weather Attribution, an international group studying the connection of climate change to extreme weather events. The team, including scientists from the Netherlands and United Kingdom, found that such heat waves are occurring more frequently because of human activities and shouldn't be considered rare anymore. Instead, a heat wave such as the one in the West could be expected at least once every 15 years. A heat wave in the western United States with the same likelihood would have been significantly cooler in a world without human-induced climate change. Also, the western heat wave was more than 2 degrees Celsius warmer than it would have been without climate change. And 2 degrees Celsius, I believe, comes out to about 4.5 degrees Fahrenheit, if I'm doing my math correctly. Similar trends were seen in southern Europe and the lowlands of China, and the heat wave in China was about 50 times more likely than it would have been without fossil fuel burning, deforestation, and other activities. Also, unless the world rapidly stops burning fossil fuels, these events will become even more common, and the world will experience even hotter and longer-lasting heat waves that could occur every 2 to 5 years if the world reaches 2 degrees Celsius warmer than the pre-industrial average. Quote, heat is among the deadliest types of disaster, said Julie Arigi, a director at the Red Cross Red Crescent Climate Center. She said, we need a cultural shift in the way we think about extreme heat. Extreme heat is deadly and rapidly on the rise, end quote. So this is something that we should all be concerned with, and it is something that we can all do something about, you know, in our daily lives. We have to consider how much are we contributing to the carbon dioxide in the air. The global warming is the responsibility of all of us, right? We have to consider how much we're driving, how often we take public transportation, how often we walk instead of a drive or ride our bikes instead of drive.
And I know there are some people listening right now that say they don't want to deal with that. It's like, I don't want to stop driving. I'm not going to start riding a bike to work. I'm not going to start taking the bus to work. I've driven to work for the past 30 years, and I'm going to keep doing it. But you got to start considering alternatives, not just for yourself, but for your kids and your grandkids and everybody else that will be living in the future, 50 years from now and 100 years from now. I'm going to take a break in just a few minutes, but before we do, I'm going to give you a little bit of this piece from the Huff Post with a headline that says, scientists warn a major ocean current system could collapse. The system, part of the global conveyor belt, could slow down or stop completely by mid-century, according to a new study. And this was just posted today by Nick Visser at HuffPost. It says an important system of ocean currents that circulates water around the planet could significantly slow down or even stop completely in just a few decades, according to a shocking new study released yesterday. The network is called the Atlantic Meridional. Okay, like a meridian, but it's got an AL on the end. Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, or shortened to AMOC, A-M-O-C, which includes the Gulf Stream, right? We've all heard about the Gulf Stream, which brings water down from the western side of Europe across the Atlantic Ocean down to the southern U.S. It's a series of ocean currents that brings warm water north and cold water south across the Atlantic Ocean, part of a global conveyor belt that impacts weather patterns across North America, Europe, Asia, and Africa, according to NOAA. So if it impacts the weather patterns across North America, Europe, Asia, and Africa, that's a pretty big part of the world. It's like the only part left out is South America. But anyway, I'm going to take a quick break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin
or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media weather team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies today with daytime highs approaching 89. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight. Lows dip down to about 67. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Chance for isolated thunderstorms. High of 91. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday with highs in the mid-80s. Mainly sunny Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 67.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Wednesday morning, celebrating Mick Jagger's 80th birthday, and a bunch of Rolling Stones songs today. Man, can't get enough of the Stones, that's for sure. The standard, the epitome of rock and roll. Sounded good on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Got 69 degrees in Eau Claire right now. Also, 69 degrees in Amory. And just before the break, we were discussing oceans, ocean temperatures, ocean currents, what is going on with the oceans, specifically the global conveyor belt, the currents that move the ocean water around the world. And I was going over this story from HuffPost about the fact that scientists are warning that major ocean current system could collapse by mid-century. And this is a story that was just posted today. And these currents are referred to as the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, or the AMOC, A-M-O-C. And things are definitely changing. It says here that researchers in Denmark analyzed sea surface temperatures to determine the strength of the currents, or the AMOC, using data from 1870 to 2020. The pair of researchers, Suzanne Ditlevsen of the University of Copenhagen and her brother, Peter Ditlevsen, of the university's Niels Bohr Institute, then created a statistical model to analyze early warning signals that there are problems with the current network. The authors concluded the AMOC could collapse at any point between now and 2095, even as early as 2025. Their models
And by the way, I know there are some people that don't even believe in science these days, so they say this is all just a hoax or something, but this is real. This is science. This is how we find out what's going on in the world by creating statistical models and then testing to see what's going to happen. So getting back to the story, real science, their models rely on, quote, the current scenario of future emissions, end quote, assuming that greenhouse gases would continue to be released into the atmosphere without dramatic steps to reduce them. The new research was published Tuesday, yesterday in the journal Nature Communications. A collapse, quote, would have severe impacts on the climate in the North Atlantic region, the authors wrote, and represent one of the most important tipping points as the planet's climate changes. Other tipping points, which represent irreversible shifts to the planet, include the melting of the Greenland ice sheet, the destruction of the Amazon rainforest, and the thawing of the permafrost. The Washington Post notes the analysis is different from that in the most recent climate report by the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. That panel concluded at the time it had medium confidence that the AMOC would not fully collapse in this century, but now this new data shows something different. Projects to monitor the health of the AMOC, or the way the water moves through the ocean, these currents, have been gathering data since 2004. But some scientists also say that the short time frame isn't long enough to extrapolate predictions about how the ocean could change over the coming decades. The authors of the paper also acknowledged that they could not rule out other mechanisms are at play in the changes to the currents, the AMOC, the AMOC. Still, Michael Mann, a climate scientist at the University of Pennsylvania, told Axios that while there were some questions about the study's results, they only added to the growing concern about the state of the planet amid uncontrolled climate change. Quote, "I think the authors in this case are on to something real," Mann told the outlet. The sudden shutdown of the AMOC was the key element in the 2004 disaster movie, The Day After Tomorrow. While the actual collapse of the current system is unlikely to produce immediate catastrophic weather changes, it could cause colder temperatures in northern Europe and warming in tropical zones, Peter Ditlefsen told the Post. Quote, "This is a really worrying result," he said, adding to the publication that the evidence demonstrated further need for a hard foot on the brake of carbon emissions. The authors said the results should call for fast and effective measures to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions, end quote. Everybody, do your part. Going to take a quick break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the ABC Civic News Media app.